Hey, what is up? Welcome to this episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. As always, I'm your host, Brian Lofermento, and today we are joined by two powerhouse entrepreneurs that really embody a living example of what collaboration means and how a rising tide can lift all boats in the world of business and entrepreneurship. I'm so excited for you to meet them. So let me tell you a little bit about both of our guests. We are joined today by the amazing Rachel Dickman and Lisel DeGrave. They are two incredible PR entrepreneurs that not only host a podcast together, not only team up on projects to amplify their effects and their impact together, but they're people who really understand PR at a really core level and how that can be a fuel for growth for all of us when it comes to business. So to give you a little background on both of them, RMG Communications, which is Rachel's company, and DeGrave Communications, which is Lisel's company, are both full-service public relations firms. Rachel owns RMG and Lisel owns DeGrave. Together, they work to collaborate on projects to ensure incredible results on behalf of their clients. Their work has won regional, statewide, and national awards for their creativity and effectiveness. And in addition, I love podcasters. They co-host the award-winning Pressing On in Public Relations podcast. They also co-wrote a book together called A Practical Guide to Starting Your Own PR Firm. I'm so excited about today's conversation. You get not one great guests, but two great guests. So let's dive straight into my interview with Rachel Dickman and Lisel DeGrave. I am so excited to have both of you here on the show today. First things first, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I knew that when we've got three people here, it's fun to coordinate. You guys are already in unison, which I love. I'm going to open the floor to both of you to take us beyond the bios. I know that both of you have your own amazing backstory. So, Rachel, I'll pick on you first because you're right in the center of my screen. Take us beyond the bio. And then, Lisel, walk us through your story as well.
I think I was pretty lucky that right out of college, I knew I wanted to go into communications and public relations. That was actually what I did my undergrad in at UCLA. So it was very natural. But the thing that kind of turned things around was I thought I wanted to do entertainment publicity. And then after going to UCLA and doing a few internships at some of the big music studios, I decided that was not the path I wanted to take. And after graduation, I went back home and got a job at the city right in my hometown doing communications. And that's what led me to doing government work. Now I really enjoy it. I worked there in a few other cities throughout California in a large utility before I went out on my own. And that's actually when I went to the utility, how I met Lisel. And we've been friends and business partners for more than 10 years now. And I know her story is a little different. So I'll toss it over to her to share.
Yeah, my story is somewhat similar to Rachel's in that I went to college, I studied public relations, I had a public relations internship, I went to work for a big firm right out of the gates, a big international PR firm. And from there, I saw an opportunity in my hometown, which would eliminate my commute. I wouldn't be working East Coast and West Coast crazy PR firm hours. And I went to go work for a water district. And I was really shocked by the retirement was better. The pay was better. I didn't have a commute. And I've stuck in that public sector, 20 plus years, now working on our own and having our own PR firms. But Rachel and I like to joke because I was already established and had my business. We did meet working together internally at a water district. And Rachel went out on her own. We had the same network and I panicked a little bit and I thought, oh my gosh, what is this going to do for my business? And so we just kind of said, how can we work together? And so we like to say we do collaborate with the competition. And it's more fun because we both have our own firms. We have our own branding. There's, Rachel's unique, I'm unique, but we get to work together and we've somehow made it work.
Yeah, gosh, I love that. I've never heard that word before, Lisel. I'm going to chalk that one right up to both of you. Collaboration. I absolutely love that, especially because for me, that's something that I realized when I started my first business when I was 19 years old. I quickly realized your so-called competitors are your best collaborators. That's why I always say that phrase, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think that you two are a real living example of that. And coming back to my first business as well, when I was 19, my first big breakthrough, when people ask me about inflection points, they're were always like, how did your soccer blog blow up as a 20-year-old American kid? And the reason was because of PR, quite frankly. The BBC picked up one of our news articles, and then that day we went from, 300 visitors to our blog to 30,000, literally overnight. And that's where I believed that PR was an action that just kind of magically happened. It wasn't until I matured as an entrepreneur that I realized PR is an action. PR is something you can actively work towards. I want to hear both of your perspective on that, having been in the field for so long. What are some of those misconceptions about PR? And at a really high level, what the heck is PR really?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the core, public relations is really those relationships that you build with your stakeholders, right? So how those relationships work, whether you're working for a public agency or, on the consumer side or even B2B, how those publics see your organization is really going to determine the success or failure of that organization. And like you said, there are really accidental things that happen and can give you, there's the people that say, All news is good news. But I will tell you, we get folks on the regular that reach out to us. A lot of times they just see PR as publicity and they want that media relations aspect. And media has really overall just the landscape has changed. It really depends on where you're at, what you're trying to push out there. But it's really about, securing those placements, but then repurposing them, right? And how you can leverage that a little bit. But yeah, people, a lot of times they just think it's that PR aspect and it really is earned media because you have to work for it. You really have to work for it and there's never a guarantee, right?
And I would add on to that and say a lot of times that agencies, they think PR is really difficult or it's going to be really expensive or they just don't know how to do it. And there's so many ways that you can just start somewhere and start with the little things like LaSalle said, maybe you're doing news interview that you can leverage on different channels on your social media or on your website to even get more engagement and communication and publicity with your clients or customers.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you just raised, which is that magical word of leverage, something that we get better at the more we grow as entrepreneurs and as business owners. Talk to us about some of those ways to leverage those, because again, I'm going to continue to use myself as a terrible example. My 19-year-old self is that I never knew how to leverage these. So I talk about, having a 30,000 visitor blip to my website traffic. I didn't know how to capitalize on that. So give us your perspective from a much wiser PR strategic approach to it. How the heck do we leverage these opportunities?
Well, I'll use a podcast as an example. We have one client that has a podcast and in itself, it's a government podcast and they were getting traction on it, but we looked at ways to leverage that. How can we get more traction? So we set him up being on other podcasts that were outside of his podcast. We then let that kind of snowball into, hey, this person's a thought leader, got him into some different publications, had him speaking at conferences. And for that client, that's what they needed as far as public relations was they wanted to really establish not only that connection with the community, but also be seen as a thought leader within the government circles. So they were actually able, with all of that leveraging of PR, just building upon each other, win a statewide award in California for the podcast.
Yeah, and along that thought, Rachel, when you're able, if you're a business owner, right, if you are able to leverage an opportunity, say you're speaking in front of your local chamber of commerce or you get a placement maybe at a local publication, do everything you can to maximize that. You don't want it to just be one and done because if someone wasn't in that room listening to you speak or someone didn't read that article, it essentially doesn't exist, right? So post it on your LinkedIn, post it on your social media channels. Just look for different opportunities that you can elevate and just make that one thing that you put so much effort into be maximized.
Yeah. And speaking of that maximization, I mean, I'm going to give the two of you so much credit here today because, again, that collaboration, I love that. And we're going to come back to that topic for sure. But I also think, especially even just talking to both of you before we hit record here today, is that it just seems like it is that strategic approach. Rachel, you talked about having the different platforms. And LaSalle, you talk about leveraging your different platforms. Hey, a PR opportunity doesn't need to exist in a silo. Put it anywhere, in everywhere. Both of you individually have used the term repurposing already here today. And I think that's so important for us to understand that this all fits in within a much broader puzzle. And that's why, as a business junkie, I love this perspective, because nothing really happens in a silo in successful businesses. Talk to us about the broader strategy and how it fits in, because for most people, PR is not at all strategic. It's just something that, you know, help a reporter out exists for a reason. We all get those emails three times a day, and we call that a PR strategy. Obviously, it's not a PR strategy. Talk to us about how it fits into that broader ecosystem and how those pieces fit together.
Yeah, I will say I never really sure how to pronounce that, but reporters have gotten quite lazy, if you ask me. So like you said, if you are able to kind of pull those low-hanging fruits and be able to secure something through a you know, an e-blast like Haro, that's great. And figure out ways to just reuse it over and over again, but be strategic. So if you do have that opportunity, maybe there's a reporter, maybe you're an interior design business and you see that they're looking for an interior design quote, what's your strategic vision look like for your organization long-term or maybe even short-term? And how can you put those key messages into that interview? And so, and then, like I said, you post something on LinkedIn, tie it back into those strategic messages, just bring it all back to where it's not scattered. It's everything is thoughtful and you're trying to maximize everything that you're doing.
And on that note, I mean, that's a really important point right there, is the big M word, messaging. What the heck are we saying inside of these PR opportunities, which even takes us, I would imagine, beforehand. I mean, we've all lived in Southern California, and I always think back to the world of Hollywood and storyboarding. Well, we can't really have a production. We can't really say anything until we figured out what is that story. Walk us through your thought process there, because not all PR is created equal when it comes to effectiveness at growing our businesses. How do you even begin to storyboard, especially for all those listeners out there who are saying, I'm a website designer. What do I have to say to a local newspaper? I remember living in Boston, I would see all these entrepreneurs in the Boston Globe, and I was like, how do they even think what to say? We don't always see our own stories. How do you all help your clients get at that?
In starting out, especially if you're a one-person shop or a small business and not a large corporation, it's harder to be strategic, right? When you don't know but what you're supposed to be doing. But as you grow your business, one thing to keep in mind is trying to do a strategic PR or communications plan like you would a business plan. And that's going to really help, where you can lay out your goals and objectives for the year, talk about that messaging, and then lay out ways to show KPIs, those key performance indicators for your success. But starting out, I think it's easy enough to just think about what you're good at. So if you said, like you said, if you're a web designer, IT person, or even a PR person, outside of that, are there other things that are in your wheelhouse that you could talk about and look for those opportunities? So think about us. We're PR people, but there's also other things we do that we can tie into. So we do a lot of pitching of the podcast too, if that's an angle we can do, or the book, or if there's something else within what we do. I know LaSalle does a lot on the education side and nonprofit for local associations as well. So that's another way that she's getting her message out. And two, just on like the basics of the messaging side, when you have those key messages developed, they're almost like, if you don't know what that is, a sound bite. So you're thinking of those sound bites about your business. And those are the things you say over and over. And even in this interview, although casual, there's things we know and we say over and over in any interview we're doing, or when we're talking to clients, or when we're doing our podcast. So it's kind of, what is it called? Subliminal messaging, but in the best sense of that, where if you're listening to us, you're hearing it over and over, but you don't know you're hearing it over and over, but there's that consistency there. And all businesses need that as well.
Yeah. And one example of that, Rachel, I know you mentioned our work with nonprofits. One in particular comes to mind. And one of the things we try to do as we manage their social media outreach, and this is really relatable to any small business or, you know, any business owner in general, is you're not just creating content to create content. So we want to make sure that for this specific client, 25% of the posts are advocacy related, because that's important to them. We want 25% to be volunteer focused. We also, it's a nonprofit. You're always trying to raise money, right? Raise money, raise support. And so figuring out for your business, what are those things that you want to sprinkle out on social media? And are you doing it? Are you doing it consistently? Are you doing it evenly? Those are going to ebb and flow too. If you're having a big event or, you know, there's some big news happening, things like that. It may not always look evenly divided, but just at least having that mindset of, you know, we're just asking for money all the time and we're not showing the impacts of our program. Like, how can we better do that? So think about your business and what your business goals are and make sure that that's what you're putting out, not only on social media, but maybe media relations on your website, on your social, you know, just anywhere that you are able to put out your message, make sure that it's consistent and it's telling the story of what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, hearing the way that both of you talk about this, it is that layer of intentionality. I keep saying the word strategy and intention, and it's because that's really where this is coming from. Lisselle, that real life example of 25% of your content, you know exactly what it's going towards. Whereas how many of us business owners, when it's time to post on social, we're just like, what am I going to post today? And so it really is incorporating that across the board. So I love this intentionality. I love this strategic approach to all of this, which I want to go a little bit deeper because I know a lot of people where they really start getting freaked out when it comes to public relations, whether they're doing it themselves, all of us started out small, or they're able to hire agencies such as yours. They always worry about that pitch. And I'll say this on the air. Rachel and I were joking about this before we hit record. As a podcaster, I see a lot of PR pitches, 20 to 40 every single day in my inbox. Please, ladies, walk us through, what the heck does a good pitch look like?
Oh man. Well, you don't want to end up on the wall of shame. We've all been to that TV station. And for folks listening that are not on the PR side, a lot of times in a newsroom, you're going to have literally the wall of shame where the horrible, the worst news releases are up there. So I don't know. I mean, my biggest tip is really learn who you're pitching, whether it's a reporter, a writer, a podcaster, like what gets them excited. We know for you, you're all about business and encouraging people to grow their business. And so I know you did some research on us before you interviewed us, but we wanted to you know, learn more about your platform as well. And that's really one of the key things, because you could have the same topic that you're trying to pitch, but you're going to have to slightly change that pitch based on who it's going to. And then also think about, are you trying to get this on TV or maybe a vlog versus something that's going to just be in print? What are visuals that you can share? Do you have any B-roll? B-roll is kind of like that background footage with no, you know, no voices, but just showing something. The more, like I said, I hate to say it, but we live in a different time where media is very fast. Reporters are, I do think they're getting a little bit lazy. And so the more that you can prepare and give them content, it's really easy to again, I'm going to use the word repurpose. There's a better chance of securing something.
Yeah, Lisselle, right there. Gosh, I hope everyone listening heeds even that advice alone, because so few pitches actually consider the recipient. They're really good about bragging about, hey, here's who this person is and here's who I'm emailing you on behalf of, without that consideration. And you all know we take so much pride in proactively finding people, and it's never by mistake. We literally have team members dedicated to doing that research on awesome entrepreneurs. And I think that's what makes our show so successful. And I know it's what makes your approach for both of you and your agency with your clients to be so successful, which is why part of me thinks, well, it's not just that you two collaborate with each other, you two collaborate for a living. PR is essentially collaboration at a really big scale. So talk to us about both of your attitudes towards collaboration, because a lot of other agency owners, whether they're in PR or not, are probably thinking, Rachel and Lisselle, what the heck are you two doing? You team up on projects together, even though you both have your own agencies. Walk us through that process, how it started, and also on a collaborative level, how does it actually work within a given project?
Yeah, and I can start this one off. I think, you know, it's not for everybody. We know a lot of agency owners that they do like to be like the big kahuna for their agency and, you know, leading the charge, LaSalle. And I think it has to do like this, in addition to being a business story, it's a story about friendship as well, where we just work really well together and we're still getting great things accomplished through our businesses by collaborating. But also sometimes I'm going to be completely honest, some clients don't understand why. They're like, why do you collaborate? Like, don't you have a staff of 20? I don't understand how that works. And sometimes we explain it and they get it and sometimes they don't. And we just have to be fine with that because the people that want to work with us understand when they're working, whether it's under RMG or DeGrave, they're getting all of our team, but we're all working just like we would at a larger agency where everyone's in lockstep with what they're doing. We know our roles. We're ensuring that our collective businesses can bring like a large agency expertise with that small time feeling of a personalized approach as well.
Yeah, sometimes we joke that we're like that scene in Step Brothers where Will Ferrell and I don't know the other guy, Brendan, they're sitting on each other's lap going for the interview and then the one kind of like pops to the side. And then, and we actually had it, funny thing is one of our greatest clients interviewed us that way. You know, we were on a Zoom call. He interviews us and then later touches base and says, okay, what is the jig is up? Like, what is going on? We researched you on LinkedIn. You guys are running two different for it. Like Rachel said, it sounds kind of sketchy, but we really have made it work. And it's more fun to work together. We, like Rachel said, it's not for everyone. I would be really hesitant to go into business or, any kind of a partnership like this with just anyone. But we've kind of made it work. And I think our friendship is first and foremost. And honestly, if it reaches a point where it doesn't, we might just say, okay, this isn't working out anymore. And I would hope that we would still be friends and there wouldn't be hard feelings. But for now, I was out on my own way well before Rachel ever was. And I don't know if lonely is the right word, but it can be difficult to be in business without someone to kind of bounce ideas off of and, you know, has a similar mindset and wants the same thing. So we see it as a benefit. I remember Rachel always used to say there's always enough work to go around. So we always see it. There was a subscription that we recently needed and there was someone kind of in our PR network that was like, hey, do you want to share this? And I love things like that because as a small business owner, it's going to benefit all of us. We're all going to grow and looking for opportunities to partnership will not necessarily weaken your business, but strengthen it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Rachel. I'm here for it.
Because I think probably a lot of people are like, well, why don't you just join, like start a business together and maybe dissolve your businesses or something similar. But the reason we didn't is because LaSalle had her business before and she's actually part owner with her husband. So there's a lot of things that were already in place. And then I own my business. And that's why we feel we kind of have the best of both worlds where we get to work together, do great work, but then also have that agency over our own businesses on the finance side, on the board of directors side to do things that we maybe wouldn't do together.
Yeah, I really appreciate that insight because I do think, I mean, as someone who's been on the opposite side of this as well, it's just that collaborative effort is also two totally different approaches. If you're both under the exact same umbrella, there will be a Rachel and LaSalle way, whereas now you both have your own zones of genius. You also have your own approaches. And the fact that you can combine that on a project basis, I think is really powerful because we know what it looks like to grow businesses together. And LaSalle, to your point about the seriousness of going into business with someone in any collaborative effort, I always joke with people because I've got business partners in different businesses. It's like we're married. We have to manage so many things together. So it is an incredibly important bond. And when I think of that, I also, the part that I like about talking to both of you is that you're also fellow podcasters. So even just PR aside, you get it when it comes to content creation. You've both said repurposing quite a few times here today. And there's so many things that we get on the podcasting level. I almost feel like, and I see you both using it really in a real life term as well. I mean, you both published a book earlier this year. You're going on a bit of a podcast circuit. And I think it's fascinating how many people haven't come around to how many different forms of online media that there are. Podcasting is only one channel. Talk to us about that from a PR perspective, because I feel like a lot of people think about the traditional, like, I want to be in a magazine, I want to be on TV, but they overlook, I mean, YouTube channels. There are massive YouTube channels these days that getting exposure on one of those is a huge opportunity. Walk us through your mindset and kind of some of those tools in your arsenal, since there are so many channels.
Yeah, well, we had the idea of starting a podcast. It was one of those things, being that we're in the PR field, we thought this could be really fun. And it's interesting because what we're learning, our target, our listeners were not our original target demographic. So we have Pressing On in Public Relations, which is a real life look at the PR world, right? A career in public relations. And so being that we're in this field, we have that network of PR people, and we have people that are always asking us questions. And so we keep it very lighthearted. It's very real. It's a conversation between friends, and we often bring in guests and whatnot. But we really saw it as an opportunity for thought leadership, as well as just to bring, we did a lot of research before we even came up with the podcast, because we wanted to see, is there space in this market for a podcast like this? No one was really doing it. Like I said, we were trying to reach that, maybe that person that is a little bit more established in their career. And what we're finding, our demographic is really a younger female audience. And so we're thinking of that as we're coming up with future content, as, because we want to, we don't necessarily need to change who the audience is, but we want to make sure that what we're doing is relatable to them.
Yeah, I think that's such a powerful consideration. Again, it keeps coming back. And I think this is, even aside from just PR, it's strictly just good marketing, is always considering the other person on the other side of whatever medium or channel that it is that you're talking on, which leads me to another labor of love that I personally know is so much work, which is obviously your book. So you both just launched earlier this year, A Practical Guide to Starting Your Own PR Firm. There it is for everyone watching on video. I love seeing, there's nothing like a physical book to get you excited about that labor of love. I'd love for you both to walk us through not only the thought process of writing the book, but what was it like to actually put so much of that wisdom and your own personal experiences into it?
When we started the book out, it was kind of a happenstance. We were driving somewhere and LaSalle said something about, I've always wanted to write a book. And I said, me too. And so we thought, well, what can we write a book on? And the one thing that came to mind was how to start a PR firm. Because we can't tell you how many times colleagues and friends say to us, hey, can we pick your brain? We're interested in starting our own PR firm, our own business. So what we wanted to do was take all that information and distill it down into something that's easy to use and really tactical. It's not for someone that's still trying to find themselves. It's someone that already knows they want to start a firm, and how to do that, like through those really simple, no nonsense like ways to do it, whether that's starting an S corp or an LLC, working on their branding, how to get clients. We cover it all in the book, so they have all of our secrets. It's just like picking our brain. They can read the book and find out all the ins and outs of what it's like. We talk about the nitty-gritty, what's fun, what's not fun, what's a lot of work. I think a lot of people, they see, especially in PR, you know, if you're posting on social media, you're at like a fancy event, or you're getting awards, or you know, something that seems exciting, but the majority of our time, as you can imagine too, really, there's a lot of business side that goes into that, whether it's getting the clients, dealing with HR, hiring people, it's all that other work that they need to think about too. And we actually had one person that read the book and they gave us a 5-star review, but they said after reading the book, they realized that they were not cut out to own their own business, but this was a really great roadmap to show them what was actually involved in starting a firm.
Yeah, because that's an interesting point, Rachel. When we recorded the Audible, for example, our producer said everything that I heard you say, and this poor guy had to hear everything we said over and over again, because it's the editing that's involved in a book is, we kudos to him. We really wanted to record it ourselves so it wasn't some stranger. But what's in here is really relatable to any business, to be honest, because it's about a third of what we do is public relations, but we like to joke that another third is really we're therapists to our clients and the people that we work with, whether it's another consultant or someone on our team. But it seems like everyone needs therapy sessions. We're PR people, we're therapists. And then third, we're business owners. And that's really at the top of everything, because if you can't be business minded, it doesn't matter if you're the best PR person in the world, you're not going to be profitable. Your business isn't going to thrive. You've got a good skill set, but you really have to be in it for, you got to understand the business side of it. So we go into that in the book. And I think that's just something that honestly, when people want to pick our brain, that was one of the things that they really are challenged with, because you go to school to study something, you've been doing this craft for, you know, 20 plus years, and then, but you really don't, aren't necessarily business minded. And so the book really has all of that in there. You know, a lot of people say, why don't you could turn that into counseling sessions when people say they want to pick your brain. But Rachel and I really don't want to make a career of meeting with people and giving them business advice. And so, like she said, we put pen to paper and we decided to publish a book. And that was an adventure in itself. The writing was the easy part. I like to joke.
Boom. That right there. That's honestly the real stuff. I want to call it out for listeners, because both of you made a really strong point to point that out about your book, which is if you want to be a practitioner, if you want to be someone who does PR, go get a PR job. Because if you want to be a business owner, there are so many other responsibilities that come with it. None of us as business owners are pure practitioners. That's part of what we do, inevitably, but we also have to understand that business side. So I am a big fan that so much of your book is dedicated to that, because PR is one component of it, but doing that strategic, mindful, executive work is such an important thing that I don't think we talk about enough. A lot of people who love PR or love website development or love whatever agency it is that you want to start, you have to be equally in love with growing your business. So both of you have awesome client portfolios. I guess I want to ask you this question, not as PR experts, but as fellow entrepreneurs now. Walk us through, whether it's your first client story or your favorite way of attracting a client, what's one of those real life stories as a business owner that you got a client, you were like, you know what, that is the way that I want to do business, and that's exactly why I serve others.
And LaSalle and I spent a lot of time in PR and had really great connections. We were connected into all the PR associations. We had our colleagues. So going out on our own, that was the first place we tapped into. We wish there was a silver bullet. We could tell people, if you do this, then this, you're going to get clients. But I think a lot of ours is we really looked at that first circle of people we knew and started hitting them up. And, you know, you never know. Sometimes a no is just a not now. We had, my favorite story is one of my colleagues, they were at a city, and when I went out on my own, I reached out to him and he said, right now, unfortunately, we have some other firms under contract, but I'll let you know if anything comes up. And I knew that when the time was right, he would reach out. And sure enough, about a year and a half later, he reached out with a small job. And now we have probably about $500,000 in contracts with that agency, thanks to doing a great job on that little job. And I know LaSalle's a lot of similar stories about how just that networking and or those bad experiences too, we're good at vetting now. I think that's a big thing that we've learned, is not all clients are right for you. And when someone comes with a rush job and they want something in 2 days, that's not a client we're going to probably take on, because we've had, and they're in the book too, if anyone's interested, but we have some horror stories with those, thinking that it was going to be a good opportunity and it didn't turn out to be. So some of it's also listening to your gut and your heart. And if something's telling you that it's not meant for you, and even when we look at RFPs, we feel this a lot. You can almost tell it coming off the paper, off your screen, if it's going to be a good opportunity to spend your time filling out a proposal or if it's not.
Yeah, I would agree. You do get better over the years. And I think that's, again, relatable to any business. I know when I was first getting started and I wasn't so focused on government and nonprofit work, I thought, oh, I'm going to do skincare. This is going to be a fun, you know, you think of the consumer side. And it just never felt right. And I did a lot of things initially that were maybe trades, or I did it for a very low rate, and realized that when you give something away, people don't value it. And that's a tip, you know, across, you do, I think there is a certain level where, and even in our business today, we will throw things in that are just value adds to our client, where they're, hey, can you do this? And we just do it, because we really try to strive to give that level of extra customer service that you, a lot of times I don't think you get that at a big PR firm. But it didn't work. When I gave something away, they didn't realize that they just got thousands of dollars of service for free. And I think that's one of the hard things too, when you work in a service, it's not something that's necessarily tangible. And so it can be hard for someone to measure, right? And so they really struggle with that. But we've had some, very rarely, but we've had to fire clients in the past. It doesn't happen often. And like Rachel said, you become more discerning and you kind of know, okay, this is going to be a good relationship. And we have those clients that we've worked with year after year, and they renew with us, and we love working with them. And, but you feel that in any business where it's just a good people work with people that they like, know, and trust. And, that's really what it's about.
Yeah, it puts a big smile on my face hearing both of you talk about this, because I feel like these are the battle scars that we've all picked up along the way in entrepreneurship. And as much as we talk about this so publicly, like, it's hard for anyone to learn these things until we're actually in the thick of it. So we've all learned it, you know, baptism by fire, by being in it. And LaSalle, gosh, that point that you made about those who pay attention, that is such a simplistic lesson, but one that's so hard to learn and so frustrating along the way. So I'm glad you called that out. And what I really appreciate is both of you have shown up today, not just as PR experts, but really with your business expert hats on. And because both of you, you live this stuff, you've grown teams, you've served clients. And so both of you really understand it on all of those levels, which I think in turn just makes your services even that more powerful. So I have no idea how each of you are going to take this last question, because you both have a wealth of knowledge and experience to pull on. But I always like asking guests, with the listeners in mind, we've got wantrepreneurs and entrepreneurs tuning in from over 150 countries around the world at all different stages of business, listening to this saying, gosh, you guys have figured a lot out. What the heck should I do from here? What's that one takeaway that you hope listeners walk away from today's episode with?
I'll get started. Literally, that's it. Just get started. I'm a big pen and paper person. I like to make every day there's a new list, and you've got kind of those things that you need to accomplish by the end of the week or the end of the month, but then you have stuff that you need to get done today. And so the biggest, and I think Rachel would say the same, it's just do something that's going to move your business forward. Because a lot of times you see someone's success and it looks like, wow, that happened overnight. I've been doing this for 20 plus years, so it didn't happen overnight. It started with a really bad logo on Microsoft Word that I created myself with a typewriter font. Okay, so because I couldn't afford a designer, right? So do something today that's going to move your business forward, big or small, and you just do that. You just take it in bite-sized pieces.
And even if you have, adding on to that, you know, 15 minutes to just research, whether it's a website, reading a book like ours, to find out what it's really like. Like we said before, you could be a rock star in graphic design or PR or in business at a corporation. But once you see what's really involved with running a business, that may not be the right path for you for many reasons.
Yeah, real life advice. These are the real life conversations that I'm so appreciative that we get to have here on the air. And it's because of amazing, transparent, open, generous guests like both of you. I also knew that we would run out of time here today, but that's why I'm going to plug it before I even throw the baton back to you both, that I think it's so cool that listeners, if they want more of the two of you stories, experiences, insights, they've got two options at a minimum from here, which is I'm going to shout out your podcast. I love the name of it. I love what you both are doing. I love your commitment to being back on the air in a consistent level. So Pressing On in Public Relations is your podcast. Your book sounds incredible. A Practical Guide to Starting Your Own PR Firm. Ladies, I know that listeners are going to want to go deeper. I know I've plugged those two things just a little bit, but drop those links on us. Where should listeners go from here?
They can visit us at pressingonpodcast.com. That has links to our book. It has more information on the podcast and about us. For me, they can also find me at rmgcomm.com. That's rmgcomm.com.
And for DeGrave Communications, you can find us on Instagram @DeGravePR or online at degravepr.com.
Yes, listeners, you already know the drill. We are making it as easy as possible for you to find those links, as well as we're also adding in links to Rachel and LaSalle's personal LinkedIns. It's how we originally came across their work, and we so admire the way that both of you show up in the world through your work, through being of service, through serving other entrepreneurs at this point in your career. So we're so appreciative of that. So on behalf of myself and all the listeners, thanks so much for joining us here on the show today. Hey, it's Brian here, and thanks for tuning in to yet another episode of the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast. If you haven't checked us out online, there's so much good stuff there. Check out the show's website and all the show notes that we talked about in today's episode at thewantrepreneurshow.com. And I just want to give a shout out to our amazing guests. There's a reason why we are ad-free and have produced so many incredible episodes 5 days a week for you, and it's because our guests step up to the plate. These are not sponsored episodes. These are not infomercials. Our guests help us cover the costs of our productions. They so deeply believe in the power of getting their message out in front of you, awesome entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs, that they contribute to help us make these productions possible. So thank you to not only today's guests, but all of our guests in general. And I just want to invite you, check out our website, because you can send us a voicemail there. We also have live chat. If you want to interact directly with me, go to thewantrepreneurshow.com, initiate a live chat. It's for real me. And I'm excited because I'll see you, as always, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday here on the Wantrepreneur to Entrepreneur podcast.